Good morning, everybody. Isn't it great to come to church on a Sunday morning to such a joyful occasion as worshiping God? Please stand as we sing My Redeemer Lives. Seated, everybody. When we say my Redeemer lives, when we say our Redeemer lives, can you say amen to that? Yes. Absolutely, amen. Now, we're going to go into another song, How Great Is Our God. We know that pretty well. But what I'd like to do afterwards, as a call to worship, is can we have a sharing time? How great is God in your life? And would you like to share that? Now, Sam's willing to run around with the hand mic for anybody that puts up their hand to want to be able to share. And if there's something that's busting in you and you want to get it out, please, can we hear it? Revelation says that the two weapons of the Lord are the Word of God and the Word of Testimony. It really means a lot. Do remain seated as we sing, How Great is Our God. Sam, do you want to come up and get the mic, mate? Put your shoes on. Does anybody have anything they want to share to the congregation? For any reason at all, really. How great is our God? Personal testimony? Anybody? There's two.
Just a short one.
Is it on? Is it on, Dennis?
It's on, thank you. I've been away for the last 3 years and I've missed all my friends. And yesterday I went to Presbytery, which is a meeting, and you might think how boring and dull, how awful going to a meeting. But to me, it was a catch-up with all the people I used to know and love when I lived here before that I've really missed. And it was a real blessing to me to be able to be there worshipping and praying and doing business with friends.
That's great, Shirley. Thanks. It's great to be part of the extended family, isn't it?
God has done great things through my life. In fact, I'm here. And he continues to do great things and will continue to do great things.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Sharon. Over there, Sam.
I just want to thank God for all his goodness to me over the last couple of weeks. I had my knee surgery on the 28th, and it's been a little bit rough, but I've, you know, got there, and with God's help and medication, of course. And, yeah, but I'm happy that I've got this far with God's help.
How are you?
And continue to do so.
Anybody else want to share?
We're running late this morning, but we're here. And I just thank God for every day. And especially I love autumn. And we just see him in the changes in the seasons. And I just thank God that he's there for me through thick and thin. Brian and I have been to Sydney this week, and quite a few people know that my brother-in-law is not very well. But it was, we're so blessed that we could get to see him.
Hallelujah.
And I just thank God for each and every day in the passing seasons.
Thanks, Wendy. One last opportunity. Okay. Let me just share quickly my call to worship. 2008 was quite a year for Sue and I. Sue had a major operation. My brother was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumour, and our first grandson was born all in that year. Thing was, though, when in praying for Sue and my brother Peter, it was a question of, God, are you going to heal either of them or not? And I got the word that, with my brother, that he'd run his race, because he was a good, beautiful Christian bloke, helped so many people, and God was calling him home. So I had peace about that. I didn't want to lose Sue. So I didn't have peace about Sue going to heaven. But as it turned out, of course, Sue's here. She came through with it was a great operation. It's been really good for many years. My brother did pass, but I know he's in heaven. Now, having that peace for both ways, living or dying, is just wonderful. Only God can do that. And that's why we are so blessed by him for giving us that belief and that life, and then eternal life afterwards. Isn't that wonderful? Just carrying on with our notices, every Thursday, apart from school holidays, is the Vines Creative Connection. It costs you $4 each week, and they have so many different crafts that you can get involved in. But this Thursday, the 21st, is the biggest morning tea. And everybody's invited to come along to that. There's a lot of good food, door prizes, and very good fellowship too. So if you want to come along to that, that'd be great. The men's dinner group is this Wednesday, Neville. Yeah. At Jimmy Dean's, that South Adelaide Football Club. Yeah, that'll be good too. Friday Friends is May the 29th. That's coming up fairly soon. The next Home Aloners is June the 2nd. 2nd of June, Brian, thanks. Brian's our new convener of Home Aloners, by the way. And you're doing a great job. Centennial Park? Oh, are we going to stay there? Okay. And Shelley, can I call you forward for your notice, please?
For a moment there, I thought he was going to invite me to Centennial Park. Yeah. But actually, I've already spoken to Brian to ask if I can come, because I think it'd be good professional development for me to see what goes on behind the scenes, having just cremated my father there, actually. Hi, good morning, everybody. And I'm not on today, but I'm here with you, and I'm very happy to be here. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One, over the last few weeks and over the next few weeks, I'm hoping to visit each small group that the church has, whether it's a home group or a Bible study or a women's group or a men's group. I can't possibly attend everything all the time, but I do want to go to everything once. And so if you haven't invited me yet, please see me after the service. I went to 3 different groups last week, and each one I enjoyed so much, getting to know people better and sharing in fellowship. And just a word about next Sunday. It's Pentecost, and so the notice is there. Could you all wear something red or orange or yellow? Some of you will know that those colours don't suit you and you won't know what to do. So I'm here to reassure you that the smallest splash of colour, now you think I'm wearing blue today, but can anyone see another colour? A smallest flash of red or orange, depending on how your eyes are, would be fine. And if you can't, you can't. That's fine. What I want to do is look out and see colours as if we are aflame. And so I'm looking forward to that service with you next week very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Charlotte. All right. Thank you. Okay.
Well, hello, everybody. Nice to see you all again. We're going to now do our intercessions for ourselves and for others and for the world, which needs it at the moment. So if you'd like to join with me, I'd appreciate that. Let us pray. As Christians, men and women, we assemble here this morning to offer our prayers and our thanks to you, our Lord. We pray for our own country, and we sincerely offer prayers for those people who are suffering throughout the world. May your special blessings be granted to them so that they're able to survive and to live their lives in peace as you intended once again. May your Holy Spirit direct the leaders to work to the advancement and to the safety and welfare of all of us. God of grace, hear our prayer. Since the Easter Passion, we have been waiting for the miracle of Pentecost, when our Lord bestowed his Holy Spirit upon us all. As we wait, we gratefully remember this day and know that God gave us this precious gift to help us live in this world after his Son's return. As Christians, we know that the Holy Spirit comforts and guides us. It is our special day when we are still and feel the presence of God. God of grace, hear our prayer. Jesus, we invite you to be with each of us today and every day, and with those of us who are gathered here at this church. As we gather to worship, we feel your Holy Spirit moving with us and around us, and ask for your blessing on those who work to spread this message throughout the world. We ask for your special blessings for Shelley and our worship leaders as they strive to represent you by their words and deeds. Please gift Shelley the patience, empathy, and guidance as she goes about her day-to-day tasks for us. As our winter season comes upon us, it is the time of year when many people are experiencing hardship. We ask that you wrap them in the warmth of your spirit so that those who are suffering may find some comfort and strength in your presence in their lives. We are all touched by the plight of those whose lives are seemingly stressful. Please grant them peace. God of grace, hear our prayer. As we live our daily lives and with other Christians throughout the world, we too worry about the political situations around our world. We pray for the safety of all of us in these dangerous and unpredictably deadly times as inhumanity comes to the fore again. We pray for your church. We are grateful for the dedication of our volunteers, all of those who give their time throughout the world and in our own Vines community that they may receive your strength as they minister to those in need. Within our own congregation, may we hear your holy word with reverent and obedient hearts and serve you throughout all our days. We are strengthened by your promises to us. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. God of grace, hear our prayer. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. It is with joy that we hear these words, and with joy that we look forward to being with you. We recall with love the many, many lives of those we have known in this church, in our country, and in our families who have passed to their reward. Their journey is over. They have laid down their burdens. May our God grant them rest in his arms, and may they remember us. I'd ask you now to join with me as we once again recite our special prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Aaron. Can the offering stewards be ready to bring forward the offering after we finish singing this song? The song is I Will Offer Up My Life. And please remain seated as we sing. It's all right, we need a capo. Sounded good, out of key. There we go. Na, 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 na. That sounds better. Father, we thank you, Lord, that what we've got anyway, you've given to us in the first place. Please receive back just a portion of what you've given us. And we thank you for your blessings, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to this community around us. May this church be a beacon north, south, east and west to the people that need to know Jesus Christ. And may these gifts of monies and food be a catalyst towards that end. We ask in your precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Adrian.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 to 10. Faith in action. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I think we need to stand as we prepare for the message. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. What's the words? How great thou art. Please stand, everybody.
Time.
be seated, everybody. Is anybody a good catchable? I might use you down the track, Digby. You don't have to bark that much. Yeah, message. Today we're talking about faith. I've always thought and said, God and people are a team. When God wants to do something on earth, he will very often do it in conjunction with some human being. You, me, somebody in Cottage Grove, somebody down the road. But for us to work with God, we need to have faith in him. Now, I'm not saying God can't use people without faith, but for us to believe, we need faith. Ephesians 2 says, God saves us because of his grace, and that grace is a free gift. But often when people receive a gift, they may think, I need to give something back just to justify it. Well, that's not God's plan. He just wants us to accept it in good faith. But he also knows we may even find that hard to do. So what does Ephesians say? Even the faith we have is given by God. Another gift. It's very clear that faith itself is a gift from God. And I want to talk about that faith today. And the good thing about faith is, whether we feel it or not, it's just there. Now this may sound a bit odd, but I'm sure we don't most people don't go around consciously thinking, I've got two arms hanging off my body. But when we need them, what happens? Very good, mate. Thank you. We are glad we have them. It's amazing, isn't it? When we see a ball coming towards us, what's the first thing we do is we put up our hands. It's automatic. We put up our hands to catch it. It's the same with faith. We may not be aware of it, but when we need it, it's there. Now, there are certain ways that we can use our faith as a partner to God. So what does the Bible say faith is? In Hebrews 11, it says this, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I wonder what goes through your mind when you actually read that. I believe as this message goes on, God may reveal how we can use that in our everyday lives today. So when I was a kid, they didn't teach me physics in grade 2. But subtly over the years, as you get higher and higher in grades, there were small learning processes that led to, say, second year high, we did physics. And by that time, we were ready to understand it, or sort of. So it is with faith. It is a gift. But as we grow, we can learn to use it. How? By just trusting God more and more. And that is the key to using our faith. How much do we actually trust God in our everyday lives today? Has anybody heard of David Yonggi Cho? Okay, he was a minister in Korea that started a church many years ago. And as of 2007, so going back a ways, there were 820,000 members of that church. It's considered the biggest church in the world. So I'm passing on some of his teaching today about faith, because someone that can build a church that big must know a thing or two about it. So what's the first step in exercising our faith? The scripture says, we need to be sure of what we hope for. Or another way of saying that is, we need a clear vision or goal of what we hope for. I'm guessing at any given time, we may have a particular hope or vision, just in our own lives or in our church life. We were all hoping for a new minister for almost 3 years. It took a while, didn't it? Now you may ask, why so long? Well, let me share the testimony of David Yonggi Cho, and maybe that might give us some answers. So he became an evangelist at a very young age. He travelled far on foot, walking everywhere to share Jesus Christ. And when he first started his ministry, he was living in a single room, which didn't have a desk, a chair, a bed. He ate off the floor, he studied on the floor, he slept on the floor. And then one day, while he was reading his Bible, he was wonderfully impressed by God's promises. This is what he read. If he would just put his faith in Jesus and pray in his name, then he would receive everything that he needed. The Bible also said that he was a son of God, a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So do you know what Yonggi said to God? He said, Father, why should a child of the King of Kings live without a desk, a chair or bed and walk miles to do your work? At least I should have a humble desk and chair and a humble bicycle to do my visitations. So in faith, David prayed that prayer. Lord, please, I need a desk, a chair, a bed, and a bicycle. He believed in God's provision, and so he waited for delivery. And what do you think happened? 1 month, 2 months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months went by, and nothing turned up. And after 6 months, he was alone, it was raining, he was starving, sitting on the floor, and he became very depressed. And he said to God, Father, I asked you to supply me a desk, chair, bed and bicycle months ago, and now you see me as I am, still spreading the gospel to poverty-stricken people. How can I ask them to exercise faith when I cannot do it myself? How can I ask them to put their faith in you? My Father, I am very discouraged. I don't know what's going on, but I cannot deny your word. I cannot deny what's written in the Bible. Your word must stand, he said. Now, I'm sure you will answer, but I just don't know when. Now, if that was us, you'd have to wonder, wouldn't you, after 6 months? Okay, Yonggi Cho began to cry that night. Then all of a sudden, a real peace, a genuine peace, came over him. And after a short time, a still small voice welled up in his soul, and he sensed God say this to him. My son, I heard your prayer a long time ago, to which Yonggi blurted out, well, where are my desk, chair, bed and bicycle? Then he heard God say, my child, people ask for many things, they demand them, but they ask in such vague terms. There are dozens of kinds of desks, chairs and bikes. What kind do you want? So you can imagine Yonggi was a bit confused, wouldn't he? Did God really want him to be that specific in his prayer? The Hebrew scripture says that faith is having a confidence in what we hope for. Just say you come to me and ask me to build you a desk or something like that. How would the conversation go? I would have to ask you, well, how big do you want it? And what do you want it made of? For me to please you, I would need specifics. And then I'd probably say, Brian will do it for you. Now, I'm sure people may be pleased to receive a free desk without being specific. But what if it was the wrong size or the wrong colour? What if it didn't suit your purpose? If faith is having confidence in what we hope for, the fact is God wants to provide what we really need. Now, there's no doubt he already knows what we need, but it's a relationship, it's a team effort. In the Bible, there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, and one day he heard Jesus walk by. He couldn't see him. And he cried out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, everybody knew what Bartimaeus wanted. Of course he wanted to see. But do you know what Jesus said to Bartimaeus? He said, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" Now, I'm sure no one's game to say, "Oh, dear, Jesus," to him, to his face. But they all knew the answer. But Jesus still wanted him to be specific. And of course, Bartimaeus was healed. So far, we've heard God wants us to trust him. He wants us to be specific. And if we can possibly visualize specifically what we are praying for and trusting God for it to happen, then we are exercising faith. In fact, that is the very definition of faith. Now, I don't pretend that this is easy. I really do look at faith as a learning process. When Yong Yi Cho was specific in what he wanted, right down to the brand of pushbone, he was so sure that God would provide that he started to tell people he already had them, even before he got them. Probably a bit premature, I'd imagine. And of course, his flock, they all knew that he lived in poverty in a single room with nothing in it. So they said, "All right, Yong Yi, show us. Go and show us the bed, the chair and everything else." And with faith, Yong Yi took them down to his room, opened the door, and what did they see? This. An empty room. The people sort of suggested that Yong Yi was a bit screw loose at that time. How would you have felt if you were Yong Yi Cho at that particular time? Well, first of all, he was shocked, like he would be. How could he explain that without appearing to be not right? So what did he do? He prayed on the spot. "Lord, you told me to visualize it all. You told me to expect it. Where are they? And how can I explain this to people?" There was something about Yong Yi Cho. He really questioned God like a child would question his father. And he needed a quick answer. And God gave it to him then and there. He turned to one of his friends and he said, "I'll ask you a question. And if you can answer me that question, I'll show you my desk, chair, bed and bike." His friend scratched his head and thought, "Well, okay, what have I got to lose? I'll do what it takes." So Yong Yi asked his friend this: "How long were you in your mother's womb for?" A very, very odd question. But he wanted to see, the guy wanted to see, where is this going? "Well, 9 months, of course," came the answer. Then Yong Yi said, "What were you doing in there for 9 months?" The guy thought, "Well, I was growing. It's the only thing you could answer, isn't it?" Exactly. Just as it takes time of growth before a baby is ready to enter this world, so it is with God's provision. We need to grow before God supplies. And what does God grow in us while we're waiting? Faith, our trust in him. Now that is a great revelation. What happened here for nearly 3 years while waiting for Shelley to come along? Growth in a lot of people. I look at you, man. He goes, "It took many to keep this church vibrant." Would you agree with that? Now, good on you. Well done, you guys. Nearly 3 years without a minister, and look what this church is like. But it took that long to grow faith, waiting on God, trusting God. And praise God, he answered our call. Now, I'm not sure what Yong Yi Cho's folk thought of him after that question, "How long were you in your mother's womb?" But some went around saying, "Pastor Yong Yi is pregnant with a bike bed chair. They even stirred him up saying, "You look like you're getting a bit bigger then, Yongi." Now, imagine if you were Yongi back then, how would you feel about that? To have faith in his situation meant he still had to trust God, that God would supply his desk, chair, bed, etc. Even amongst the ridicule, how difficult would that have been? I get the feeling that God was growing Yongi's trust in him, his faith in God. And why? I imagine because God knew that Yongi was going to lead the biggest church in the whole world. He needed faith and he needed to trust God a lot. And what happened to Yongi? Soon after, he got his chair, bed, desk and bike right down to the brand that he asked for. And of course, he went on to pastor the biggest church in the world. Now, please consider this. Let's say you own a bit of land up on Piggott Range Road. We all know where that is, don't we? And it's probably about, 2,000 feet above sea level, I'm guessing about that. So God comes to you and says, "I want you to go to Bunnings, Seaford, Norlunga, Ranella and Marion and buy up every piece of timber they have in the whole place, the four of them. And I want you to build a wooden boat the size of a battleship on your property." You know how big a battleship is? Now you may question, "Lord, what on earth do you want me to do that for?" And what would the answer be? Any ideas? Why would God want somebody to build a big boat up there that high? Sorry? And what was the plan? A flood. And what would you think about that? You want me to build a battleship up there 2,000 feet above the sea level, expecting that the world's going to flood? What sort of confidence would it then take to actually do it, to actually build that boat and spend all that money buying the timber? What if your neighbour, say you started, and then your neighbour come to you and said, "What the heck are you doing, Joe? What are you doing? Tell me, did somebody actually do that?" I hope you will agree to that, yeah. And who was he? Noah. Then that's why it says in our reading today, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, meaning the world was going to be flooded, but he didn't see that, in holy fear, that actually translates to total trust in God, okay? Built an ark to save his family. Now, some scholars suggest that took 75 years to build that ark. It's a lot of time to have that much faith, isn't it? Ongoing, 75 years worth. I find it absolutely amazing that he actually did it and had faith for that long. This is what I think, such trust in our Lord to do that, such confidence in God that he was going to go through with it, such faith that the faith that Noah had. Not to mention his own building ability. Remember, it's a team effort. God called him to do that, and he did. Now, I'll ask the band to come forward, please. I believe the Vines is at a crossroad. I'll put this aside. When I say that, I talk about our spiritual life. Yes, Shelley's here now as our minister, which is fantastic. That was very pleasing to when that happened. But all of us still, as a team, in relationship with our Father, need still to trust God explicitly for our vision of this church. And if we can have the confidence in God for the things that we cannot even see yet, then that is faith. And while we wait, what happens? We grow. That's why it takes time for God to provide. We grow in faith. To me, exercising faith is victory. Trusting God is victory. Thanks, Adrian. And with that in mind, I say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Do you know where we're going with this? I reckon we should stand, don't you reckon? As we go forth in this week, may our faith, our trust in you be uppermost in our minds, so that if we hear your voice, Lord, and you ask us to do whatever, that we would have the courage, just like Yongi did, to do what you ask. And Lord, if it's scary, I pray that you give us that courage to consider the trust that we need. And that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't always be reminded that after the service that there's always opportunity for prayer, and any elders that are available, please keep an eye out for anybody wishing prayer. Let's finish with the chorus.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Have a great week, everybody.